Love God, lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Let yourself be loved. See yourself as Jesus does. Let yourself be loved.
I want to jump right in today, starting a new thought that we've been into. I want to talk to you about loving yourself, truly loving yourself. And the reason I want to touch on this is because there's a lot of opinions and there's a lot being said in social media about loving yourself. And you can get on Instagram or YouTube and you'll see all these people giving you opinions about how important it is to love yourself. But the problem is the world that's telling us these things doesn't truly understand what love is. And so many times what we're amening on Instagram and what we're getting behind and reposting on our social media is not really loving yourself. Catch this now. It's lusting yourself. Or it's serving yourself. It's not truly loving yourself. And so the place that we can go to find out what it means to truly love ourselves, we must go to whom we believe the source of love is, and that is Jesus Christ, whom he is the embodiment of what love is, as he came to the earth and took off the glory that he was clothed in to put on flesh and blood and walk the earth and then lay down his life as a sacrifice. That's who love is. So let's jump into the scriptures here. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 through 31. If you go to this church, it's a very familiar text of scripture. It's really where we get the vision for our church. It says, "And Jesus answered him and said, 'The first of all the commandments is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is just like it, that you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. And there's no other commandment that is greater than these.'" Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that your presence is here. Your word promises us that you come and enthrone yourself in the praises of your people. And Father, we pray that you would speak to each and every one of us, strengthen our faith, challenge us in our resolve to love you, but to also love ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, there's somebody that doesn't want you to love yourself, and that is Satan himself. Satan hates your guts. And, you know, he also wants you to hate yourself. And that's why many of us are dealing with voices in our heads. That there's a narrative that comes from the world that wants to beat us down. That's why many of us are battling negative thoughts about ourselves. And many of us feel the words and we feel thoughts that say, "You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough." All these things are coming against us. As a father, you may feel like you're not a good father and you battle these thoughts. As a mother, you may feel like you're not a good mother. And we're dealing with all these thoughts, but sometimes rather than deal with those thoughts by changing them. Instead, we try to resist those thoughts with mere actions. And it comes off in a way that is fake and not real. And so the world is trying to tell us we need to love ourselves. But what the world is referring to is really just self-serving thoughts and trying to come against those things in the flesh. But as the Word of God teaches us, is that the weapons that we fight against are not carnal like flesh and blood, but they are weapons of our warfare of the Spirit. And we need to understand that where this narrative comes from within our minds. And we need to learn to do what the Scriptures teach us, and that is to love ourselves. Because Jesus, when he was asked what is the greatest commandment, his response was, you need to love the Lord your God with all your spirit, soul, and mind, and you need to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So the equation starts that you and I need to love God with all that we are. And after we do that, the second thing we're called to do, which he says is just like it, now we must love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But herein lies the problem in 2023. If you don't love yourself, you're going to have a hard time loving your neighbor. Can I get an amen on that? If you don't love yourself, you're going to have a hard time loving your spouse. If you don't love yourself, here's an even better one. You're going to have a hard time loving your kids. And some of you were raised by moms and dads that didn't love themselves. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. They couldn't love you properly because they didn't learn how to love themselves. And so herein lies the problem in this equation of fulfilling the great commandment. If we don't learn how to love ourselves, we can't love our neighbor. And Jesus said this commandment is exactly the same as the first commandment. And see, we think it's different. Well, I love God with all that I am. Well, if you do, it will be lived out by the way you treat others. And you will not be able to properly love others if you don't truly love yourselves. So here's what I want you to see, that people that are mean to other people are like that because they're mean to themselves. And I got to tell some of you here that are perfectionists and you're always trying to do the right thing, some of you are just too darn hard on yourself. And that internal voice is going to cause you to be too hard on your husband. You're going to be too hard on your wife. And here's the worst part. You're going to be too hard on your kids. Anybody here ever play sports? You ever get that one coach that was just too hard? Nothing ever pleased him. You know why he was like that? Because he was never pleased with himself. Come on, young man. You ever dated somebody that was nothing was ever good enough for him? You want to know why? Because they were never pleased with themselves. Single man, you better watch who you marry. You laugh, but you can marry somebody that nothing pleases them. And guess what? You're not going to be able to please them either. So here's what you do. Y'all ready for this? You tell them, it's been nice dating you, but this isn't going to work out. That's a word for somebody here. Amen. Somebody needs to do that. Because see, here's the problem. We never learn how to truly love ourselves. And we go out in the world and we try to have relationships with people. And we fail miserably. Because there's a order to this thing. Now, number one, the scripture tells us there in Mark chapter 12 that the first thing you must do is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all that you are. We must start there. Because see, it's only in loving God, you ready, that you can learn how to love yourself. Amen. I'm here to tell you that without learning to love God, you are going to have a very difficult time loving yourself. And the reason you're going to have a hard time with that is because you and I are both imperfect. You and I are also a part of a system called the world that does not love you. It hates you. And so without coming in contact with the love of God, my brothers and sisters, you are going to have a really hard time loving yourself, because when you look in the mirror, all you are going to see is your imperfections. All you're going to see as you look into your world is the areas where you made mistakes. But when you come in contact with the love of God, you begin to learn some things. Number one, we sang about it today, and you begin to learn that your God is a good God. And when you learn that he's a good God, you understand that he's a God that loves me. And he is a God that is merciful to me. That even though when I make mistakes, he never leaves me or forsakes me. You begin to learn that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son to redeem you back. And what that begins to teach you is this: you're valuable. You're valuable. It also, when you begin to love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, and your whole soul, you begin to learn that he has a purpose for you. And when you learn that you're valuable and that God has a purpose for you, you can then begin the road to learning that even though you're imperfect, even though you make mistakes, even though you have a past, you can learn to love yourself. Now, why don't we take the time? Why do we have to take the time to do this? Because as I said, if you don't properly learn to love yourself, you're going to have a hard time loving other people. Could this be why some of us have failed in the area of relationships? You've been through one divorce, two divorces. You dated somebody, broke up with them, dated the next person, broke up with them. And now you say things like this: they were all losers. Well, maybe they weren't all losers. You just couldn't receive their love because you never learned how to love yourself. Because remember, the voice you hear in your mind about yourself is going to be the voice you speak with. So if all you hear in your mind about yourself is you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you know, if all you hear in your voice is a repeat of all the mistakes you've ever made, guys, that's the voice you're going to speak with. I see it all the time. Some of these men that are so hard on their wives. Listen to me now, men. Some of you men, man, you got a good woman, but all you ever do is tear her down. All you ever do is never appreciate the meal. There's always something wrong with the meal. Fool, she cooked for you. Throw some extra salt on it and be done with it. Get out the hot sauce. Come on, get the ranch dressing out. Doctor that food up and be like, baby, thank you for cooking for me. But not you. No, not you. This tastes terrible. What'd you do to this? Why can't you cook like my mom? That's the kiss of death right there. The divorce is coming. That's coming. You start saying stuff like that. But can I tell you why you talk like that? Because you talk to yourself like that. Now, it's never words that you would say out of your own mouth, but you feel like a failure. You regret not going to college. You regret the mistakes you made. You live with all this stuff, and this is the way you feel about yourself. And so now you get married, and guess what she gets? She gets the voice that you hear in here. She gets it out here. And so nothing she does is ever good enough. But it gets worse, because now you have babies. And these babies begin to grow up. Oh, they're cute when they're little, right? They're cute. But then they turn about 2 years old, 3 years old, and they start breaking stuff around your house. They ain't cute no more. Now you can't control your mouth. Then they turn four, five, and six. And now all you do is tear your own kids down. Come on, are you tracking with me? Then they become teenagers. And nothing they do is ever good enough for you, Dad. See, we've got to put a stop to this. And the way we put a stop to it is this. We develop first a love for God. And then we allow God to teach us how to love ourselves. Do you ever think about why we have a drug problem in America? You ever think about why we have these issues with pills and marijuana? And now, you know, just, and I just got to tell you, just because it's legal don't make it right. Hell, but it's legal now, Pastor. It don't make it right. Because let me tell you something. The main reason people are doing what they know is bad for them is because they're trying to many times silence the narrative or the voice that's going on in their head. And the only way to do that is to take a foreign substance that will give them a high for a short period of time to where they can feel normal and not have those voices tell them how horrible they are. Think about it. We all know what doing crystal meth will do to you. If you don't know, take a short drive down Florin Road and you'll see a woman talking to herself. You'll see a man laid out in the middle of the day, butt naked on the sidewalk. And there's not a single person here that would go, I want to try that. But yet, many of us and many of our friends and family members have found their way down that path. Guys, I'm trying to tell you what the root of all that behavior is. It's hating ourselves. Hating ourselves because of the mistakes we made. Hating ourselves because we don't feel good enough. Why don't we feel good enough? Because your dad left your mom when you were 4 years old, and the enemy has come and told you, if you were a better son or a daughter, he may have stayed. And I'm just telling you right now, that's a lie. It had nothing to do with you. But the enemy gets a foothold and he tells you, I was raped and it must be my fault that I got raped. Why didn't my sister get raped? Or why didn't my brother get raped? I got raped. It's my fault. I hate myself. It wasn't your fault. I'm going to say that again. It wasn't your fault. But some of us, we have that tape, that voice playing in our heads, and you blame yourself that your dad left. You blame yourself that your mom didn't give you the attention you needed. You blame yourself that somebody broke your heart in the 12th grade. And all that causes you to hate yourself. And so guess what it's going to cause you to do? Be hateful towards others. Even the ones you proclaim to love. And I see it over and over again. Anybody here ever seen a Tyler Perry movie? Tyler Perry, anybody seen a Tyler Perry movie? Madea and all that kind of stuff? That's what those movies are all about. Most of those movies are about a hurt woman that is now mean to everybody in her circle, and her Prince Charming comes along, and it's some good-looking brother. He's got a good job, and he tries to love this woman who's been hurt, but she's mean to him. And she's mean to everybody else. Come on, it's a story as old as time, and Tyler Perry has made millions telling those stories. I mean, every Madea movie, every other money, it's all the same context. But it's what I'm talking to you about today, and I'm just telling you right now, as Christians, we've got to put value on the words of Jesus. And if Jesus says the greatest commandment is you love the Lord God with all your heart and you love yourself and go out and love your neighbor, we better start doing that. And if you're not going to do it for yourself, please do it for the sake of your husband. Please do it for the sake of your wife. Please do it for the sake of your kids. And I'm talking to you if anybody has ever told you you were mean. I'm here to tell you and define to you why you're mean. It's not because they're idiots. It's because you don't love yourself. And if I could just share the word in just the moments I have left to get you to open up your heart first to God and then to teach you how important it is that you allow God's word to transform the love of God inside of you to where you become the first recipient of God's love in knowing that you're important, you're valuable, it wasn't your fault. And you know, many times we preach on forgiveness, but the first person you gotta forgive is you, Mom. First person you gotta forgive yourself, Dad, is you. And there's too many parents walking around so guilty about how they've raised their kids, guilty that they were in addiction, guilty that they chose drugs over their kids or alcohol over their kids. And here you are, a believer, you gotta forgive yourself. Just as Jesus has forgiven you. And you gotta learn to walk again. You gotta learn to love again. And it starts with loving God and then loving you. Are you tracking with me today? Now, what I'm talking to you about when I say love yourself, it's very different than the way the world tells you to love yourself. There's a term that's around now with social media, and that is self-care. And everybody wants to claim self-care. Self-care is usually when you feel guilty for spending too much money on yourself. And then we say, oh, I went to the spa and I dropped $100 I didn't have, but it's self-care. No, it's called irresponsibility. That's what that is. But we love to shout self-care. And don't get me wrong, I believe self-care is important. Matter of fact, there's a ministry that I'm a part of called Replenish. And this past week for 4 days, they are about replenishing pastors and making sure that we take time to rest and things. So this ministry has partnered with Christian businessmen all over the world to provide trips for their pastors to go and replenish themselves and do some self-care because pastors are quitting at an alarming rate now. And so recently we went to Cabo San Lucas on this ministry's dime. They pay for us. And they said, pastors, you guys just go, you rest, we'll pay for your meals, and you just take 4 days to do some self-care, and you come back and you work for your congregation. And that's what we did. So I believe in self-care, amen? I believe in it. But it has its place. And so many times when the world says love yourself or treat yourself, they're really just talking about it from a fleshly perspective. But let's look at what God says about loving ourselves. John chapter 12, verse 25 in the New King James Version. It says this, Jesus said this, he who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. That's deep. Kind of goes against what Instagram influencers will tell you. Look what it says in the Passion Translation, that same verse, John 12, 25, in the Passion Translation, it says it like this. The person who loves his life and pampers himself is going to miss true life. But the one who detaches his life from the world and abandons himself to me, he will find true life and enjoy it forever. It's a very different mindset than what the world is telling us self-love is. Because according to Jesus, what he is saying self-love is laying down your life for others. And when you do that, he says, you will find true life. It's kind of like what he says in John chapter 15, 13, also in the Passion Translation. It says, for the greatest love of all, come on, Whitney Houston, For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his love or his life for his friends. So Jesus says, if you love yourself, sacrifice yourself. Very different than what the world is teaching you that loving yourself means. And we've got to be very careful for that. And so what I want to define for you this morning is that there's two roads to loving yourself. There's the road that says, I'm going to love myself, but it's not really self-love. It's a kind of false movement. It's deceptive. It's not really loving yourself as much as it's acting like you love yourself. It's really a road of pride. It's really a road that says, I love myself in front of you guys, but inwardly, I really hate myself. Isn't that really what pride is? Pride is a front. Pride is fake. Pride is puffing yourself up to make yourself feel tough or to make yourself seem rich. Come on, somebody, you're wearing Gucci, but you don't own your home. Your car needs an oil change, but you got Yeezys on. And you're wearing Balenciaga, but you ain't got no money in the bank. And so we front. It's a, you know, like, I got it. I'm good. I'm fresh. I'm rich, but you're really broke. And you think, here's the sad part. You think you're fooling all of us, but we all know you're broke because we see your kids. And they're not in Balenciaga. They're not in Gucci. They're wearing Pucci. The sad thing about this road of self-love, of pride, is it's not fooling anybody except you and the people who are just like you. Because there will always be people that will champion your foolishness. Have y'all ever noticed that? You're making posts, and it's the same 10 losers that are like, that's right, yeah. But the rest of us are going, ooh, I can't believe they posted that. Do they realize how that looks? See, you're not fooling the rest of us. All you're fooling is yourself, and you're fooling the fools that you hang out with. The rest of us are going, oh, that's so sad. That's so sad. Look at, she's putting on a front. He's putting on a front. How many know what I'm talking about? You open your Instagram and it's the same young lady showing her booty. See, she wants you to think she's feeling herself, but she's not feeling herself. She's doing that because inwardly she hates herself and she's trying to get affirmation from people and likes from people because she needs that because she hates herself. And so if I show my booty, I may get crazy men to give me likes and thumbs up, and I may get a lot of followers, and then she could say, oh, I hate myself, but they like me. Let me tell you something. When you truly love yourself, you don't need to post provocative pictures on your Instagram. And again, you're not fooling anybody except the fools you run with. And they're the ones going, ooh, beautiful picture. The rest of us are going, put your booty away. That's your husband's booty. That's between you and him. Let's cover that up. Take a nice smile. Can't you just post a picture smiling? Are you tracking with me? I'm trying to help somebody today. Please don't misinterpret. I'm not trying to poke at anybody or aggravate anybody. Sometimes I got to joke about it so you see how foolish it is. Because the world is saying, hey, that's self-love. And man, that's confidence. No, it ain't. It ain't. It ain't confidence. It's pride. And we all see it. Why continue down that road where you got to buy the latest shoes, the latest outfit? You got to be down with the latest thing to show everybody you're cool. No, man, calm down. Just be cool. Beautiful women truly know they're beautiful. They don't need your likes. Amen? When a woman is beautiful, feels beautiful, she may not even have an Instagram page. But a woman that doesn't feel that way inwardly, she always got to be posting the right angle and da-da-da and da-da-da. Why? Because she hates herself and she needs our affirmation. And I'm just telling you, folks, that road, the Bible says, is going to lead you right to death. It's exhausting. It's an exhausting road. And so this false movement of self-love is masquerading. It's really pride. And what is the actual root of pride? It's not love. It's self-loathing. And we begin to hate ourselves. And it's because we blame ourselves and all that kind of stuff. But you need to come in contact with the love of God so that God can show you how awesome you were. So that God can speak to you and say, it wasn't your fault your dad left. It wasn't your fault that your mom wasn't there for you. She was messed up. It had nothing to do with you. And you could stop blaming yourself and you could start loving yourself. But the only thing that can silence those demonic voices is the voice of God. And where does the voice of God come from? His word. Am I helping anybody today? So inward, on this road of self-love, inward you can loathe yourself so much that you present a front to the world that you really love yourself. You talk a big game, but it's shallow and everyone knows it, except you and those that are like you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5:17 is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It's something that set me free at age 19 and continues to set me free to this day. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you can put that on the screen if you have that one, guys. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. See, the reason I love this scripture is because I learned, and this is something some of y'all need to learn, that what the Bible is telling you here is that there is an old you and there should be a new you. There was a Sergio Limón that existed before I gave my life to Jesus. And there is a Sergio Limón that was born when I came to the altar at Capital Christian Center at 19 years old and I gave my life to Jesus Christ, a new me was born. And the Bible says that the old me is passed away and everything now has become new. And what I learned and understood and still understand to this day is that the person that committed all those sins and made all those bad decisions and was disobedient to my parents and did all that stuff, that guy is dead. The person that I am today, standing in this pulpit, is a new creature in Christ. I wish I could get more Christians to understand new creation realities. Because some of you are still living in the trauma and the drama of your past. And you simply think that when you decided to live for Jesus, you got sprinkled with some blood. He took away some of your mistakes, but you are the same person. And I'm telling you, according to scripture, you are not. And so because you think like that, you bring all of your trauma, your drama, your issues into your new life and nothing changes. And I'm here to tell you this, nothing is ever going to change until you grasp the new creation realities that come and came when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. If you can have enough faith to believe what the scriptures say, your past will no longer dominate you and carry into your everyday. Because some of you, even though you're born again, you still walk around like a person that was raped. Even though you're born again, you still walk around like a person that didn't have a dad. Even though you're born again, you still walk around with all that trauma. Are you tracking with me today? But if I could get you to understand what the scriptures say, you can get a new concept that you are not just this old, broke down, beat down sinner saved by grace. No, according to the scriptures, you're a new person. Old things are passed away. Everything is new. And I'm telling you, when I grasped that at about 20 years old, everything changed for me. Because up to that point, I still carried guilt about the mistakes I made, the people I hurt, the damage I did. I woke up every day and I would still say, God, forgive me. I know I did a lot of wrong. But when I began to grasp that, I began to say, okay, Jesus, I'm a new creature now. And as I begin to give my testimony, I begin to talk about all the things that I did. And many of you know my testimony. It's never like I'm talking about me. You know what it's like? I'm talking about somebody that is no longer alive anymore. I don't identify with my past anymore. I identify with this Bible. I identify with who Jesus says I am. Not what my upbringing says I am. And so the road of self-love, that is pride, wants to give you a false sense of pride. And we start feeling good about ourselves based on our ethnicity. And we say, well, you know, I'm proud. I'm a proud Mexican. I'm a proud American. I'm proud Asian. I'm proud this. And we begin to build this false sense of pride around our culture. I'm just telling you. That's nothing to be proud of. Let me tell you what you should be proud of. You should be proud that the old you is now a citizen of heaven. And regardless of your race, you should be proud that you're blood-bought, born again, have a new life in Jesus Christ. The Bible says we don't boast in our flesh, but we boast in him. But somebody that hates themselves is grasping for things to get pride from. And so they're saying things like, well, I'm proud of this, and I'm proud of that, and I'm proud to be a single mom, and I'm proud of this accomplishment, and I'm proud to have a high school diploma, and I'm proud to have a degree. I'm proud to be a boss. I'm proud to be an entrepreneur. I'm proud to be... Listen, it's all rubbish. And as you're touting your proudness, we're all seeing, oh, you really hate yourself, and you're looking for something to hang love on, and it's sad. But there's another road, and it's a road of authentic self-love. Am I helping anybody today? Amen. That false road of pride, we got to get off of that, and we got to get on this other love that the Bible teaches us, that if we love ourselves, we can properly love other people. And that road comes through the road of humility. And let me tell you about humility. The second road that leads you into loving yourself, that road of humility, is this. It's really defined by this. I love myself so much that I must crucify my ways and submit to Jesus so that the true me can shine through. The greatest thing I can do for myself is submit my ways to Jesus Christ. I know Pastor Willard preached a good word on that while I was in Africa. If you didn't hear that, you need to go and listen to that on Spotify. But it really comes down to that. The reason I go to church when I would rather sleep in is because I love myself. The reason I remain holy and I don't sleep with somebody that's not my wife is because I love myself. Come on, single people. The reason I don't go out on a Friday night to the club anymore or go out and smoke out with my friends anymore is because I love myself. Are you tracking with me? It's the opposite of what the world will tell you, because they'll tell you loving yourself is living your best life. Treat yourself. Come on, all that kind of stuff. And the second road of humility says, nah, I love myself so much, I got to get to church. I love myself too much to not pray and read my word every day. I love myself too much not to give myself over to the purpose of God. See, I love the true me, and that true me is the new me. And that me is found in the word of God. Some of you got to just, you got to disassociate from your past. We're proud to be from our neighborhood. I'm from the hood. Gardens raised me. Come on. Oak Park. Vadio Valley High. Fruit Ridge. Whatever. I'm going to start a fight in here. And we get pride from stuff that don't matter. That's where hate comes from. So you got to protect your pride from where you're from. So now you hate everybody from other neighborhoods. You got to protect your pride in being Asian, so you don't like African Americans. You got to protect your pride in being Mexican, so you don't like white people. You see how it's all fake, it's all phony. You're proud to be a single mom, so you hate on all the married couples. It's false. It's fake. Get off of that road. Humility is a road that says if you truly love yourself, submit to God's word. And so the true you on this road of true self-love means this. You walk in confidence, not pride. We need Christians to be confident and not boastful, not proud. And here's the thing. Pride and confidence run real close to each other. Confidence comes because I know who I am. Pride enters in because I don't know who I am. I don't even like who I am, so I got to be fake about it. The true you walks in confidence, not pride. That's the born-again person. And let me tell you how you know if you have humility. Humility will produce confidence that says this: I love myself, and I'm confident in myself, and you can't change that. Pride is opposite. Pride says, I really don't love myself, but I want you to think I love myself, and so I'm going to stand up against you. I'll give you another example. Confidence has no problem submitting. Pride hates submission because submission makes a proud person feel weak. A confident person has no problem submitting. Because you can't make me feel weak. So when a confident person gets married, you ready, fellas? A confident man can submit to his wife without feeling like less of a man. The men are just looking at me. Oh, Pastor. They're looking at me and they're going, Pastor, what about that one scripture? Y'all know the scripture I'm talking about. Men don't know any other scripture. But they know the scripture that says, women submit to your husbands. They don't even read the Bible, but they know that scripture. And they will play that scripture anytime you get out of line, baby. Baby, you're not doing the word, though. Baby, I'm just telling you, the word says submit to your husband. And you're not doing that. Hit them with this next time. Well, honey, Ephesians says, submit one to another. You want to get your husband reading the Bible? Where does it say that? Show me that one. I never learned that one. Listen, a confident man I don't have a problem submitting to Tina. And there are times I submit to her I ask permission to go places. Oh, Pastor, you a punk, Pastor. Dang, I didn't know you was like that. I don't just go places. I say, hey, Pastor, I don't call her Pastor Tina. I say, hey, babe, I'm gonna go to this place. Is that cool with you? She's like, yeah, okay, go. I let her know. Why? What is that me doing? I'm submitting. And there are times she's like, babe, I ain't seen you in a bit. Why don't you just come home? And I'd be like, all right. I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes I ain't happy about it. But listen, I'll submit like that from time to time. She'll do the same for me. And I don't walk away feeling like a punk. Because I know who I am. I know who I am. It's not only with my wife. There are times I don't have a problem submitting to people. There are times, even though Pastor Will is under me, there are times I submit to Pastor Willard. Like when he was the project manager of this building and we were getting the building done. He had the authority to tell me what to do. And so he would say, hey, pastor, we need this, this, and this. And I'd be like, all right, let me go do it. I never stopped him and was like, whoa, slow your roll. Who you think you are telling me? You better get in line. Never happened. You want to know why I could submit to him in that area? Because he knows more than me in that area. Y'all don't want me project manager in this thing. I mess stuff up. But he knows tools. He knows construction. He knows all that. So because you know more, I'll submit to you any day. What do you need me to do? Okay. See, when you have pride, it's the reason why you can't submit to your bosses. My boss is a jerk. Well, maybe he's not. But maybe you're just full of pride and you don't want to submit to him. Got real quiet in this Baptist church today. Well, pastor, you know, I'll submit to somebody if they're worthy to be submitted to. No, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I submit to anybody that has authority. Because it says nothing about me. Because I'm secure. I'm confident. You know, when we're writing grants and stuff, Jessica Fielding, who works in that area, and, you know, there are things that I want to do sometimes, and when we're writing a grant, you know, I'll say, hey, Jessica, what do you think about this? And she'll say, nah, pastor, we can't do that. I don't ever be like, girl, you don't tell me. No, because she knows more about that. And she'll tell you, in those areas of grant submit proposals and stuff, I'm like, what do you think? What should I do? And she could tell me what to do, and I submit to it because I know who I am. But if I was a proud leader, a man, then I wouldn't be able to submit to people, and I would be worse off for it. So I want to encourage you, get on this road of humility to where you don't have a front of pride, but you're truly humble. And if you're truly humble, then whoever's the boss, it doesn't matter if they're smarter than you or what, you could submit to them. Yeah. Pastor, I can't submit to my boss because I know more about the job than they do. Are you the manager? No. Then submit to him. Yeah. Pastor, I just can't. You can't, because in your mind, you would be coming down and it would make you feel less than. Because you don't really love yourself. So we got to get off of that false road and get on the real road of humility. Are you guys tracking with me today? Yeah. So again, I want you to remember this. Pride resists submission, and pride likes to stay in control. But we got to let pride die, and we got to humble ourselves. When I humble myself, I love myself. Because there's this word in self-help and on Instagram and all these people that are trying to teach you how to love yourself, and it comes down to one word: happiness. And we have made an idol out of this word, happiness, as if the goal of your life is to achieve happiness. Now, again, happiness is awesome. It's incredible. But if my goal is to always fulfill my own happiness, then I am really going to make my wife's life miserable and probably my kids too. So if your goal is to live a happy life, I feel sorry for everybody that you love. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you were raised by parents where their goal was just to be happy. So your 45-year-old mama would leave you at home and go to the club in a dress she wore when she was 20. And it don't fit the same. It don't look the same. But rather than be home with her babies, she's consumed with her own happiness, and now you got memories of staying home and watching TV alone while your mama was at the club. How many know what I'm talking about? The goal can't be your happiness, ladies. Happiness is not the goal. Jesus said it like this: true happiness or true love for self is to lay down your life for others. Sometimes I'm at my best. Listen. When it's not about me. Sometimes I'm the best dad when I'm not very happy. Come on, anybody here ever took your kids to see a Pixar movie? I know some of you are like, I like Pixar. Well, good for you. I like Pixar too when I'm watching it at home and not paying $70 to take all five of us to the movie theater to watch a cartoon that I don't care about. That's not my happiness. But you know who it does make happy? My kids. It used to. My kids are older now. So some of y'all are like, dang, they still into that? No. It's when they was kids. But in those days and those times, I was being a good dad when I wasn't making it about me. And I wasn't dragging them to Fast and Furious 6. They're like you ever go to a movie and see parents in there with their little kids? And you're like, there ain't no way these kids should be in this movie theater. Some of y'all just put your head down and go, Did he see us? Sometimes I'm at my best when it's not about me. When I choose something for my kids. When I choose something for my wife. How many know what I'm talking about? So this thing that Instagram influencer, everybody wants to make it about your happiness. No, it's not always about your happiness. Sometimes it's about your wife and you being in unity, even though you're not happy. If it's always about your happiness, guess what you're probably going to do? You're probably going to leave your husband because he's not always going to make you happy. You're probably going to leave your wife if your goal is happiness because she ain't always going to make you happy. And you'll probably walk out on your kids because being a father or being a mother doesn't always make you happy. So you don't know it, but many of you know what I'm talking about. You've been your best when you've made it not about you. Some of our fathers went to jobs they hated every day so that they could put food on the table, so that they could buy clothes for the kids. Why did they do something they hated? For your benefit. They didn't want to be working 10-hour shifts, but they did it for you. So we need to follow that example of those that have gone before us and understand that true self-love comes when you lay down your life for others. How many know what I'm talking about? So even though you and your spouse are fighting all the time, it may be to the benefit of your son and daughter that y'all stick it out and get help. But Pastor, I'm miserable. Get help. It will cause you not to be unmiserable. But don't quit. Somebody that quits is many times only seeking relief for themselves. Yeah, good. What about your kids? Yeah. Sure, you'll be happy, but how are they going to be? Are you tracking with me today? So let me just give you real quick in the 2 minutes I got left here, let me just leave you with this and we'll get more into this next week. And this is something I really want to spend time talking about because in the last 10 years, we have learned a lot about mental health in our country. And it is becoming a part of our very American culture and society. And I want to set this straight right here. And that is this, because I hear little grumblings from people that are ignorant. And I don't like when ignorant people like to make ignorant statements about our church and about me. And many times the thing many people start to think is that spirituality and spiritual things, the word of God, is against mental health. And that is just not true. This pastor and this ministry believes that spirituality and mental health go hand in hand. Amen? Did y'all hear me say that? So don't ever say, well, you know, the church just doesn't understand mental health. No, I understand it. I understand it so much I have a therapist. I understand it so much my wife and I both go to therapy. I go to marriage counseling. I believe in it. And it has helped my life. So don't let anybody tell you we're not for it. The problem I have, y'all ready for this? Is when people want to elevate, using that word, people want to elevate therapy and counseling above the counsel of God. That's when you're going to have problems. Because you can make an idol out of therapy. When you've got trauma and you've got mental health problems, make no mistake, what you need first and foremost is Jesus. But what I am not saying is that's all you need. Because you can get Jesus in the form of help through therapy and counseling. And I have. But the problem is when people take their eyes off of Jesus and put their soul help on their therapist. I've got trauma, but I'm not going to look towards you to get my deliverance, Jesus. I'm just going to talk to this person week to week, and they're going to be the thing that helps me. You're going to have some problems. Because you do not want to get things out of order. I want to leave you with this. There are three things that are going to help you love yourself. Number one is Jesus. And he's first. He's foremost. If you've got trauma, run to Jesus. How do I run to Jesus? The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word is God. Jesus and the Word are one. If you don't read your Bible, where are you getting Jesus from? The Word is important to get Jesus in your life. You hear me say it, and I will say it until the day I die. Read your Bibles. Well, I don't understand it. Hey, let me just tell you, I was just like you. When I was 19 years old, the last thing I wanted to do was read the Bible. But I knew I needed to get this new creation. And so here's what I would do. I would try to read the Bible, I'd fall asleep. I tried to read the Bible, I didn't understand it. And one of the early messages I heard in the church I went to was the power of my words, the power of my confession. And they began to talk about Mark 11, 23 and 24. If you speak to the mountain, it can be removed. So my mountain was this. I hated reading the word. And so what I would do every day sitting on my bed is I'd take my Bible out, and before I would read it, I would say these things. I would say, God, I thank you that I love reading the Bible. Lord, I love, love, love reading the Bible. And my mind would say, you are lying, lying, lying. And I would say, no, no, I love it. I make myself love this word. God, you are going to speak to me. And I would say, God, I am going to read this word and I am going to understand it. And my mind would say, no, you ain't. You ain't that smart. You barely graduated Valley High School. Do I need to pull up that memory? My mind would just be like, no, you're lying. It's like, nope, I'm going to read it and I'm going to understand it and I'm going to love it. And I would just sit there every day before I read my Bible. I would say, I love the word. I love the word. I love the word. I love it. I love it. I would speak that love into existence until that love started getting on the inside of me. And I haven't been able to get rid of it since. So those of you that don't like reading the word, I get it. I've been there. But you have the power to change that. You can create an appetite for the word just like you created an appetite for beer. There's not a person here that liked their first drink of beer. Come on. You know you hated that drink. Come on. The first time you tasted alcohol, you almost spit it out. Some of you did, right? But you kept going to the well and you developed an appetite. You got to have that same mindset towards the Word of God. Amen? So you got to have Jesus. You got to have the Word. Second thing you need to have, and I got to leave you with this real quick. First thing is Jesus and his word. The second thing you need to have if you've got issues in your past, you need a pastor. You need a pastor. I know somebody told you, I don't need anybody but God. It's not scriptural. And so many people nowadays, we don't even value the pastors we have. See, you think it's about church. It's really not about church. It's about your pastor. So Christians think all the time, well, I don't like this church. I'm going to the church down the street. Yeah, but that church down the street is not the man that God put to be your pastor. He's at the other church. But I don't want to go to that church. I want to go over there. See, that's why you got to pray about where you're supposed to be and who you're supposed to be under. Jeremiah chapter 3, 14, 15 says this. Jeremiah was prophesying to the children of Israel about the day that we live in. And he says, return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you, and I will take you one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Now, Zion is prophetically the church. Listen to what he says. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you and who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. See, what Jeremiah is telling us is there will come a day where God has set up a system for you and I to be led by shepherds. It doesn't say therapists. It doesn't say counselors, even though those are important. What I'm trying to say to you is this, in this day and age, when we're embracing counseling and therapy, do not throw out what God has set in front of us. And that is that we all need a shepherd. I do have a therapist, but I also have a pastor. Pastor Charles has been a good pastor to Pastor Tina and I. There is not a life decision that we make without running it by him. Why? Because I need Jesus and his word, and I need a pastor. Another thing you also need is godly relationships to help you get better in life. You're not going to get better without that. And lastly, as I let you go today, if you've got trauma or issues in your life, you may need therapy and counseling. Let me just say it like this. Some of y'all really need to get therapy and counseling. Now, there used to be a day, right, where people of color, we didn't mess with that. We used to say things like, oh, therapy, that's for white people. That's stuff white people do. You go to therapy? Oh, come on, man. Black people, brown people, Asian people, we laugh at therapy. Those silly white people. But you know what? In the last 10 years, we've learned some things about the human brain. The human brain is just like an organ in our bodies that can be damaged. And just like you can go get work on your arm when it hurts or work on your legs, you should get some work done on your brain. Tell your neighbor, he's talking to you right now. You got some brain damage, amen. So listen, here's what we need to learn about therapy and counseling. It shouldn't be taboo anymore. It has its place, but it never replaces God. It never replaces pastoral counseling and godly relationships. But it does have a place. It has a place where we sit down with somebody and they work on some of our past issues that we dealt with growing up that are bleeding into our new life. And if you work on those issues, we can put to death those things, help those things heal, and we can be better human beings. And we can truly love ourselves. But if we try to ignore our problems because we don't want to go to therapy and we don't want to go to counseling, then we're going to run on this road of a false pride that pretends to be better. But we all know you yell at your husband all the time. We all know you yell at your kids all the time and cuss them out. Yeah, we see you at church, but we all know how you are at home, mama. Just look straight ahead. Nobody will know I'm talking to you. So my point is this. If we're truly going to love ourselves, we got to get on the road of humility. We got to embrace Jesus. We got to embrace pastoral care and relationships. And we should embrace therapy and counseling. And I want to encourage some of you. If you've been through a divorce, are you healed from that thing? Maybe you could use some therapy. If you were abused as a child, have you ever sat down with the right person and shared everything that happened so you can get it dealt with? Or did you just bury it under stuff? might be a good idea to seek out a therapist. Are you just going to keep carrying around that pain? You got to learn to love yourself. And Jesus said, if I'm going to learn to love myself, I got to lay my life down. And part of laying our lives down many times is doing hard work. Going to a therapist, going to pastoral care, talking to somebody. I'm laying my life down, my pride down, for my kids' sake, for my wife's sake.
I think that this is your way of telling me something.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get word every week from Elevate Life Church.